Lord, I ask that you be in this message, that you would touch all of our hearts and minds today, that we would have ears to be able to hear, hearts to apply the message today, and show us the way to apply it. I thank you, Lord. I ask your blessings now on everybody here. Amen. We've been talking a lot about battle. It seems like, you know, this is what happens. We've said this so many times. We have the Word of God. This is the Word of God. And there's a special word in the Scripture that's called the Rhema, and that's what we need to hear at the present time. It's the right now word. So,
yeah, I got it.
Everybody here. So we have in the word itself, in the written word itself, it talks about a rhema word. So it's kind of hard to have all of this and grab a hold of all of this and remember all of this all at the same time. Trying to pull out a file and try to remember all these things. It's hard to be able to be that kind of person. There's nobody that can be that kind of person. And so what God does is he emphasizes the things that he needs to in our lives at particular points in time. And then we can focus our hearts and minds onto that particular thing and be aware that this is what God is looking for us to grab a hold of for that period of time. Everybody understand that? So, and hopefully, we've seen in the last few weeks that he's been talking about the spiritual battle, and it comes from lots of different sources that this is what he's speaking, and so that's what's going on. There's something that is really happening in the realm of the spirit, and which plays itself out in the world, and that's going on. We've talked about this over these last numbers of weeks. So today we're going to be continuing to talk about spiritual warfare, and I'm going to be focusing in on a particular aspect. So last week, We talked about taking courage, and that courage itself can give us the strength to be able to wage warfare, right? This is one aspect, is taking courage, to be encouraged. We need to encourage one another. We need the Word to encourage us when things are at a point where we start to feel fearful or down in any kind of way. We can be built up. We can be encouraged to face what's out there in front of us. So this was one of the things that I talked about. I mentioned last week was the story of David and Goliath. We know what really stands out to me, and when we enter into battle, any kind of a spiritual battle, we have to realize that the battle is the Lord's.
Yes.
David says to Goliath, "You come at me with spears and swords, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." Now, isn't it? How important is that?
Yeah.
And lots of times we enter into things, situations come up, there's a disagreement, there's a disappointment, there's different things that come up, and we react in our own, with our own ideas, with our own emotions, and we're not going quickly to the Lord when we need to. I mean, all of us are like this, right?
Yeah.
I'm not the only one. All of us are like that, and we want to be connected so intimately with the Lord that is always our first response. But we're still in process, aren't we?
Yeah.
So The other thing that I mentioned in the story there with David and Goliath was that when the enemy, when this giant, you have giants in your life, when the giant is coming at David, what did David do? Did he run off away from the giant? Now, this is what really impressed me about this story. David sees this giant coming at him, and I don't know if he was thinking, well, let's get this over with, but he ran at the giant. Right? He wasn't going to allow himself for that giant of a situation to stop him from engaging with what he needed to deal with at that time. And so he ran at Goliath. You talk about courage.
Yeah.
Right? So we were talking about this last week, and we went on about courage last week. So what I want to do is go to Psalm 144, if you would, verse 1. While you're getting there, I want you to have this in the back of your mind, okay? David is running toward Goliath, and he pulls out a stone out of his sling, or out of the bag, and he puts it in the sling, and he's running, and he's twirling, and he lets that sling shot go, he hits Goliath right between the eyes. What a perfect shot. Now I want you to think, what if David would have missed? What if David would have missed? There's so many times in life, you know, where you're expecting a particular result to something, and it doesn't work out the way you want. You missed. I missed. You know, and in this case, he'd have to reach into his bag again. And what if he took out a second stone? He had five of them. What if he took out a second stone and threw it, and he missed again? And this giant's getting closer and closer, ready to devour this little guy. And he reaches it. What happened? You know what was really good about the fact that David threw that stone? He had it. He had the equipment. Right? He had the, quote, armor. He had something to defend himself with. But you know what he did have also? He had skill. Didn't he? He had skill. Alright, so let's look at Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord my strength, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. So first of all, we see the battle is the Lord's. We talked about that last week. Right? Everybody see that? This is God. We're in the battle of the ages, but it's not our battle particularly. We're involved in it. But this is between good and evil, isn't it? The battle is between good and evil. Whether we want to or not, we're involved in it because we live on this planet. And this planet is the battleground for the hearts and minds of the inhabitants thereof. The enemy is looking for to gather any of us up into his camp. And the Lord offers us redemption and salvation and wants to gather us into his camp. And we come into one of those camps at some point in time. But the battle doesn't stop. We're just in a particular army. Right? So we're part of an army, and there are still going to be battles, and like it has been presented already, we already know who wins. We already know who's the strongest. So we know where ultimately where things are going to end up. But in the meantime, an army still has to battle. We can't put our heads in the sand and or go hide out someplace and think that that's going to get us by. When it comes to spiritual battle, we are in it. Because you can't get out of your own head, can you? And that's where the battleground is. It's our heads. The way we think, the attitudes that we develop, how we act and react. That's where everything is.
So, I was looking at that scripture, and, you know, God teaches our hands to war. It's God that's doing the teaching, right? God's teaching. He teaches our hands to war, our fingers to fight. Isn't that an interesting kind of thing? I mean, the fingers are part of the hands, and he teaches our hands to war. Why would David go to that length to say hands, but then also talk about the fingers? Now, there's lots of different things that could be the reason for that. You hold a sword with your whole hand, but you pull the bow back to shoot the arrow just with your fingers. That's what some people think. Or maybe it really has to deal with, in battle, there are major things to do and there's minor things to do. There are details in fighting a spiritual warfare, and you've got to know all the little details as well as the bigger ones. Yeah? You and I can't be skillful unless we get taught by someone who knows the business. Right? Teaching, in this case, is training. We're being trained in spiritual warfare. I wonder how many of us are aware of that. What are we aware when God is actually trying to teach us something about what's going on around us or inside our brains? Yeah? I think the awareness of teachable moments are very important for us. Lots of times for me, the next day I go, oh, that's why God did that. But at least, I've caught it sometime. But isn't it nice that you and I would be aware at the teachable moment when God's really trying to instruct us in our hands to war and our fingers to fight? Because we have an enemy that's always trying to do something to us. Isn't that right? To be aware that there are more intricate details in our spiritual warfare than what we're even aware of. There's so much for us to learn in the realm of the spirit. Do we have any experts here? Are there any experts? No. There's so much to know. And that's why it's important that as when God is doing the teaching, because David says, he teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. It's not just talking about physical. I think David got a bigger understanding. And not only can he learn from the things of actual warfare, but that should teach him some things about what's going on up in his mind and what's going on around him, and what does this mean if that person is coming at me in a certain way, or why am I thinking these particular thoughts at this time? I had the enemy last night wake me up right around, it was kind of close to midnight, and I woke up and there was something different going on inside my brain.
And I knew that while I was sleeping, that enemy was slipping something in at me, trying to bring fear and some other emotions and some thoughts that so easily beset me were like on me like a fat man. I couldn't get the weight of all of that was amazing to me. And I had to fight in my mind to extricate my feelings and thoughts from what was trying to come on me to mess me up. And so we need to realize that the things that happen that try to bring us down, take us away, not trust God, is these are spiritual battles that are happening at that time. Isn't that right? The enemy wants us agitated, fearful, discouraged, not even caring. Are you listening?
Yes.
Right? When God wants to teach, it's one thing to be taught, to be trained. It's another thing to be a person who's listening to the instructor and actually learning. Doesn't think, oh, I already know this. I don't need to hear this. I already know this. And we only know this much, but we think we know everything that we need to. Or even that we think we know enough to get by and squeeze by and get into the kingdom by squeaking by when maybe we don't know everything. That's always been my thing. I think, well, I know this and I know that, but you know what? The more I go along in Christ, the less I see I really do know. And some of the things I thought I knew were a pile of hooey. You're up, right?
Yeah.
So we always have to be someone who says, well, God, I want to be ready and willing to learn. I want to be a student of the Word. I want to be a student of having my senses trained to know good between good and evil. That's something that has to keep on going in our lives, isn't it? Just like that song, "Soul on Fire." Please, light me up again, God. Because it's so easy, the way we are, to get so distracted and think that the things of this life are more important than the eternal things. And we're all Christians, and we still end up feeling that way without even knowing about it sometimes. We don't even realize that's how we're feeling at the time. So grab hold as we start to go through here. So, we need to be taught of God. Knowing God, He's there. I don't have to worry about God taking a vacation from teaching these things. He's a teacher. He's a trainer. He wants us to be trained. He wants us to be prepared for the things that are out there in front of us. It's His love that holds us together. He's doing these things because He loves us. Right?
Yes.
He allows things to happen. We go through sufferings, but there's always a higher, deeper purpose. And lots of times we, I hate to do these things. Say particular things because then I know I'm going to get tested in it. Every word of God is tested. That darn thing had to be in the Word, didn't it? Every word of God is tested. We hear words, we read the words, we pray for faith, and your faith is going to get tested. Oh God, give me more faith. It's like a train just ran over you. The next that next week. You know, every word of God is tested. There are things, and I think I mentioned, you know, I said something about courage, and I mentioned about spiders, how I hate spiders. Jeremy said to me afterwards, he says, "You know what's going to happen now, don't you?" I said, "Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to deal with a spider." I went home after last Sunday's message, sat down on my big chair in my living room, was on the computer. This was like 2 hours after the service. I'm on the computer, and out of the corner of my eye, I see something. And I'm going, "Huh. I knew it. God was going to test me right away." And sure enough, there's this... this spider that's this big around. That big around. That's a big spider. Big black spider. And it's coming right at my bare leg. I have shorts on. It's coming right at my bare leg. So, normally, I would scream. No, I wouldn't scream. But I'd just jump up from where a spider would be, put the computer down, put the laptop down, and jump up. And then see what was going on. Well, and holler at Kathy. So I said, no, I'm going to deal with this guy. This is all in a split second. Right? So he's about this far away from my leg. And so instead of jumping up, I actually put my hands closer to the spider. I don't know what happened to me there, but I flipped the spider off of the chair. I figured I'll knock him onto the carpet, and then I'm gonna. I didn't have shoes on, so I was looking for something I could pound the thing with. So I flipped him. I put the laptop down, and I looked up to see where the spider had gone, and I couldn't find him. I said, "God, I have to go through this again." No. So I went, "Kathy." So I said, "Could you come out and help me move the ottoman so we could see if he had gone underneath the ottoman that I had my legs up on the dinner?" So we moved it, not there. We look under the chair that I was sitting on, not there. Then, maybe I'll go in the other room. But no, I'm going to end up sitting down. But as I was turning to go back, after we put the ottoman back, as I was turning to go back and sit down, out of the corner of my eye, I see this little black thing running across the living room carpet. Well, I'm in my bare feet. So I went, "Kathy, you think you could step on that thing?" So she went over, and she said, "Of course," and she went over and she stepped on it. That thing was just a little tiny thing. So, you know, I'm pointing this out to say to you, there's a lot of times when there's something fearful or something we don't want, a giant that we don't want to have to deal with in our life, and it looks so big. In our own mind's eye, it looks so big. But when we actually deal with it, it's not that big. It's dealable. You can deal with it. Isn't that something? But this is what happens in warfare a lot. The enemy pushes up, builds up this thing in our minds to get us so that we're giving up. And we're afraid way too soon. And we're not even engaged in any kind of battle to get rid of this whatever it is. I can never get rid of the way I do this or that. You know, some kind of sin that so easily besets you. Maybe you know, some kind of lustful thing, maybe. And, you know, I've dealt with that my whole life. I can't seem to get rid of it. You know, it's a giant. I can't get rid of it. No, it's only that way in our minds. Because all of us here say, you know, well, God's our victory, and He's our strength, and we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. But then we don't act that way a lot of times. Those things are true, aren't they?
Yes.
What we read in the Word, those things are true. And they can be carried out. And God instructs us in His Word the things that we can do and what our minds should be thinking. And yet we don't always get to that place. And so it really depends on us. It depends on us being people that are aware enough to be instructed, trained by God through the circumstances that we have in our life, that He's going to use that for a particular illustration for us to go, oh, that's where my mind always goes. And I've got to not allow that. Because if I just open the door that much to that thought, I know every single person, you have your own instance that you can do with this. You open up just a little bit, and boy, it's all over. I've had times where a particular thought comes to my mind, and I go, I don't even want to entertain that. And I walk away from it, but in the back of my mind, it's still playing there. Because it's the sin that's so easily entangled. And so, another thought comes, and I look, I don't have the strength, but, you know, I'm just giving up. You just give up. Well, we shouldn't, right? All right, we're going to go on. So, the Lord doesn't want us just to be soldiers in His army. He wants us to be skilled soldiers. He wants us to be trained. Right?
Yes.
Think about it. You have a gun on you. You think you're going to be able to defend yourself. What if you've never shot the gun before? What if you've never taken it out of the holster? And you're sitting there fumbling, and you don't get it out in time, and you know what's going to happen. Having the weapons of our warfare available to us is one thing. We have the armor of God, don't we? We have the armor of God. But you know what? If we're not attentive to that armor, if we don't know how to use that armor, if we're not allowing God to train us in the weapons of our warfare, do you think those weapons mean anything?
No.
They don't? Wait till I get to a couple scriptures from here. Now, here's a good thing. I'm going to slip something good in, and then we're going to look at some stuff that I hope will inspire you. Because it did to me. Alright, here. Yeah. Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. Now, before we even look at this other stuff about us being trained, remember, it's God who is our help in trouble. He's not going to leave us alone. We always have Him by our side. It doesn't matter if we don't feel His presence. He is always there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. No, either we believe that or we don't. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He never leaves us or forsakes us. So He is there for us. He is there to help us in times of trouble. Right? He is our refuge. And He is our strength. Amen?
Amen.
So it isn't how much strength we have. We're relying on the strength of the Lord, aren't we? We're the ones that are in the battle, but the battle belongs to the Lord. God doesn't, and it was said earlier, God doesn't take us out of the battle. That's what we want. He doesn't take us out of the battle. He uses the battles that are in our lives to make us stronger soldiers, to make us overcomers. That's what it's all about, isn't it? We need to learn to be instructed, to be taught of the Lord how to fight, have hands that can for war, and fingers that can fight. For us to know some of the more details of what it means to fight in the realm of the Spirit. Okay. And we have him. That's really a big thing, and that's why I stuck it where I did. Okay. So, here's another thing that I think is really important. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 35. Listen to this. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Steel. A steel bow. We're not talking about a little wood twig that you can bend. We're talking about a steel bow that, boy, you gotta be able to pull the bow back, right? And so, you ever done that? You ever started a particular pound bow, and you go to pull it back, and you only can get it like a few inches because the pound is just too much for you to pull back. But he says here that his hands can pull a steel bow back so that it's bending that bow so much it can break. Well, what's that show us? This guy's pretty darn strong, right? God teaches us things. He allows the things of this life to bring us to a point where we can be stronger, right? So training produces strength. It's too bad Steve and Melinda had to leave. I was going to ask him about some training, for sports. You need training. And one thing that training does, it gives you, it develops particular skill in whatever it is that you're doing. It also produces strength and endurance. Endurance. I think it was Reggie said earlier, things aren't going to get any better. They're going to... we've got to be engaged in this and not be afraid of this life and be able to meet the things that are coming up, not fearfully, but in the strength of the Lord, in hope and in trust, right? That only happens through training and trusting God. You want to say something about it?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm just thinking to this, but they ran with me, they were so sore the next day. So I don't want to do that again. I don't want to run off. But that the muscles that were there, but that, that when Harriet Pat will run with me or do something that was hard physically, we try to explain to them that there's always pain.
Yes.
Before the kind of reward of now you're stronger. And just that thought there that that's physically.
Yes.
the more you train, the less sore you are afterward. Yeah. So because your body has gotten adjusted to that. That's why if you do it, you're really active. I get this all the time, where you're really active, hiking, running, whatever. But then you go and paint your house, which you haven't done, and you're in good shape, you're physically capable, but by the end of the day, the next day, you're hurting everywhere. And you're saying, well, wait a second, I'm in good shape, but you haven't done that activity, you haven't trained that particular activity. So you've got to be trained in this battle that we're talking about, in all aspects.
That's right.
Or else you're gonna end up paying a little price later on if you're not trained.
Yeah, there's certain spiritual muscle that's involved with dealing with maybe anger coming up in you, but there's different spiritual condition when it's something else besides anger, right? There's different battles. There's different ways that we have to handle particular things. And the message today isn't to talk about all of those things. God shows us by experience. And so different things are coming up for all of us this week. And hopefully we'll be a good student. We'll be teachable. We'll be aware that, oh, this is a teachable moment for me. I see what you want me to do. I get this stuff, right? Because there's warfare that's going on all the time to take us out. All the time. Right? Alright, so here's the section of what the Lord was showing me that I just really scratched like hold up. Okay? So here it is. Love this. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. It's going to be verse 2. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 2. This is what is said in that particular verse. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of the bow. Oh my gosh. It's one thing to be in an army and maybe shoot a bow or carry a sword, and you're going to use your dominant hand. Oh man, what about the soldier that not only can use his dominant hand, but his other one, the right hand and the left? And these guys, right here, it said, could shoot a bow either right-handed or left-handed. They could throw stones right-handed or left-handed. You notice how more girly I am on this one? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Did I offend anybody? But isn't that what happens though? There's some girl ladies in here that are much more athletic than me. I understand that. So, but how many of you, if you were gathering an army together, you would like to have choose some soldiers, and you have some soldiers that could just do one or two things. But over here on this other side, here are people that can shoot with both hands, that can go either way. So something's going on. You know, to be ambidextrous. Is there anybody in here that's ambidextrous? A few people. What's that?
That's the thing. When I studied early childhood, if babies skip crawling, they don't work both sides of their brain. So that crawling action is so important.
Oh, didn't know that. So, you know, to be able to have, it doesn't matter. if something's coming at you, and it's coming in this direction, and you need to quickly do something to protect yourself, you can use your right hand. The left hand, if it's coming at this side, maybe you're a little bit more clumsy with your left hand. Isn't it better to be able to know how to strike with both arms? That would be the kind of soldier you would want. That would be actually the kind of soldier you would like to be. Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Whether it's the right hand or the left. Right? Joe?
Yeah. In basic training, they teach you how I'm left-handed and I have to shoot right-handed. And the big problem was is I couldn't do anything with my right arm. So every time I put it on my left shoulder, the DI would kick. Let me tell you, I was sore for quite a while.
Yeah.
But they taught me how to use both for shooting.
Yeah.
Other than that, I couldn't. But if it's pushed into your brain, eventually the right side gets it.
Do you think that the word might be a DI when it comes to particular areas of our life where we'd much rather not have to deal with that, but then we still keep getting situations where we're forced to end up having to deal with that particular thing in our life? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This makes me think of with little Marie's... Marie's cue speech. You learn to cue with your non-dominant hand because you so often have to use your other hand to do other things while you're with a child. So you use your non-dominant. And I found as I was learning some of the cues that I was getting much better at it. Not great, of course, but you have to train yourself to do that, but then you're able to do it with both
of you. Yeah. And God's doing that in our lives for spiritual warfare. There's big things. How many times have you heard this by not just me, but all the guys that have preached lately, or people that have shared things? There's big things coming up in this world. Big things. We're coming to an end of an age. There's big things that are ready to happen. Some have already started. There's other things that are coming down the pike. Right? We have to be, and we don't have any real conception what that's going to entail and what that means about our preparation yet. And that's why we've got to be hungry to be the kind of soldier for Christ that is really skillful, that really knows what they're doing. We're not just a soldier. We're skilled. We have talent. Right? We're trained.
One thing we tell our people too with training is you don't rise to the level of your expectation, you will fall to the level of your training. So if you think you're going to be able to overcome whatever you're going to
That is such an important thing.
And clumsy sounds much better.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I use clumsy. But isn't this true? We have particular expectations, or we read in the Word that we're more than conquerors, and all of that stuff. But we're not going to be conquerors if we're not trained.
Right.
If we don't go through the paces. Right?
Yes.
That doesn't just happen to people.
No.
Right. That's what's in my heart to say to us. That it all of these wonderful things and the promises and everything that's there, there are some very basic structures that God has framed that we live our lives by. And you know what? If you and I are going to move in the strength of the Lord, we have to move. It'll be His strength, but we're the ones that have to move. We are the ones that have to be trained, taught to do. Oh, okay. In this, I better not do that, or I can't open that door anymore. We've got to do that part, don't we? Done?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, now, here's another one. So here's the scripture we just looked at. People that could throw with both hands, ambidextrous, with weapons. Man, that's great. All right, now here's something else. And this kind of goes back to the very first thing I talked about with David, with throwing the stone and hitting Goliath direct, right where he needed to hit him, right? Okay, this is Judges chapter 20, verse 16. This is what it says. Among all this people, talking about this army, among all this people, there were chosen 700 left-handed men. You lefties out there just really best in that. Okay. They chose 700 left-handed men. Every one of them could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. Now you talk about accuracy. How wide is a hair? One strand of your hair. And they don't miss. Whatever it is that they're aiming at, they hit it. You know what happens a lot of times in spiritual warfare? We're aiming at something and we're not really, bam, hitting the mark. We say we are, we want to, we pretend. This happens a lot in Christian circles. But the reality of every single one of us being able to hit the mark, really hit exactly where we need to when it comes to overcoming a particular sin in our life, interceding for somebody else, breaking the shackles of situations in yours or our somebody else's life, we want to be those people that can do that. Right?
Yes.
We want the light of Christ to crack the darkness. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So, to me, I put that, you know, that's quite talented. Some people can take rifles, guns, and they can hit bullseyes, bam, bam, bam. You know, they have their little shot circles within an inch of each other. You know, it's fantastic what people can do when they're trained. People are not born with particular talents. That we're all born with possibilities. And some people can be trained in some things and some people in other things. But it only comes through training, going through the paces. And for us, it's life. And life needs to be learned. God is our teacher. Amen? We getting this today? So, I want to be... If we're talking about spiritual warfare and anything else that deals with the things of the Lord and life itself, is you want to be the best that you can be. Don't you? Or do you just want to slide by? I don't know. As long as I make it into heaven, that's all. No. No. I hope that's nobody's here. I don't think it is. But you probably wouldn't even be sitting here. You'd be, you know, some other place that is all fluffy. Right? So, James 5:16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man produces much." It hits the mark, doesn't it? An effectual prayer. a fervent prayer, effectual. It has an effect. It's accurate. You ever just do generalized prayers? Well, that's like a shotgun approach. You know, we'll get everybody with this. The more accurate our prayer life is, the more we're going to really hit that mark, aren't we?
Specific
prayer.
In a prayer, sometimes we just kind of, like you say, do a general thing. But it's really a specific prayer. What are we trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
You know, what does God want you to plead with for this person in that condition?
It says a lot. It says a lot too, because lots of times we go, oh well, it's time for devotions, or it's time for some prayer, and you really want to get through it because you have other things that are more important to you than the prayer, than studying the word, and so you kind of you do it because you know you should, but your heart isn't in it. There's not a fervency. You're just trying to get through the spiritual thing so that you and I can feel like, oh well, I've done my part. You know how fervent that is? You know how effectual that would be? Not too good, right? Okay, so this next part, we're getting down to it here. This next part, Paul says it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. To fight the good fight of faith, right? Faith is where it's at, isn't it? In the fighting, we've got to believe. In the fighting, we've got to trust God. When you don't feel God in a particular situation, you've got to believe and you've got to trust that this God who says that He will never leave you nor forsake you is there, whether you feel Him or not. Isn't that right? That knocks a lot of people out a lot of time. Well, I don't feel him. He's here, isn't he?
Yes.
Right? I'm just gonna read some things right here. Satan's intent is to destroy our faith. Right? That's his intent. The enemy doesn't fight fair. Does he? He never gives up. He doubles down. You push on Satan, and he might leave for a while, but he's going to come back, and he's going to try to really work you over for pushing against him. That's why we always have to be prepared and ready and be skillful in our fight, right? Be on top of it enough that the very little inkling of, he's coming around, he's starting to play with my head, you know, shutting you right down, right? Got to be ready.
Yeah. That reminds me of Gideon's army, where he chose the 300 who were not drinking.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh.
Gideon's army were the 300 who didn't stoop down and drink from the water, but cupped it up in their hands and were watching during the whole time. They were the ones who were prepared for the enemy.
Yes. Excellent. Good point. He never gives up. He doubles down. He's cruel. He can't be avoided. You can't avoid the spiritual warfare. You can't. And he gets us with our minds, but he also comes at us in our bodies. Right? Remember how Satan would touch Job in his body, and he had boils, and he got all these different things. Satan, in that realm, has some ability to even touch us in the physical realm. And so he uses whatever he can to get us. I think we've been hit with a bunch of spiritual warfare because he gets stirred up to fight us anytime we begin to grow, anytime we share the gospel more, anytime we're consistently doing the Father's will, anytime we get a deeper revelation of giving or worshiping Him in a deeper and more wonderful way. So, do we stop doing those things to avoid the warfare? No, Satan isn't going to stop anyone. Because we're saved. He's coming after us no matter what we do. So we might as well be engaged in the battle. Like David. The giant's coming at him. He goes at the giant. That's the kind of people we have to ask God to help become. To be these people that are going to be here at the end of the age and be who He wants us to be. Alright, so I'm just going to read a few scriptures out of the book of Romans and then I'm going to be done. This is what it says. Romans 13:11-12 says this: "It is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." And notice that light is armor, right? It's armor for us. We're talking about battle. If you and I are just going about life in the darkness of our own minds and just doing as we please and not asking God to help us in those areas of sinful thinking or whatever, we're in darkness. We're not much of any kind of real soldier for Christ. You understand that? Right? So we need to awake and put on the armor of light. And that is an understanding of a warfare. Light gives us understanding. And we need that understanding to be able for our hands and our fingers to fight. He wants us to be trained, skilled soldiers, right? All right, so two scriptures here and then I'm done. Romans 8:15-19 says this: "For you have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him," some of us are doing that right now, right? "That we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time cannot be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest longing of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God." Woo, baby. Skilled soldiers. Right? Grown up men and women of God. And it says creation is longing for us. Wow, that's pretty darn good. And then later on in Romans 8 it says this, 35-39. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're killed all the day long." That hasn't happened too much to people in America yet. But boy, it's ramping up here in this country. Do you know that? It really is. "We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height or depth or any creature can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that as a basis gives us a tremendous amount of confidence as we enter into the training that we need to be good, true soldiers of the Lord Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Lord, bless us with this. I ask you, Lord, that, as the saints go marching in, that were counted in that number, just like the 700 men that were chosen because of their abilities to hit the mark, that we would be those kinds of people, Lord. Not just soldiers, but trained, skilled, talented in the things that you want to teach us. Teach us, Lord. Teach our hands for war and our fingers to fight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Back when I was in school, I can remember some athletes that were extremely skillful.
Yes.
But what happened is because they had skill, they were lazy. They never trained because they just figured they could always rely on their skill. And then I remember people who were not so skillful, and all they did was train. And those are the ones that ended up rising up and overtaking the very skilled people, was the ones that were trained, you know. It's just amazing to think of, you know, how important training is. And if those skilled people who are also motivated to train, those are the ones that became exceptional.
That's right.
You know, they really put the time and effort in and really worked hard and even though they had skill. So, yeah, pretty crazy. Alright, let's close with the Our Father. Let's do that. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All right. Everybody have a great week. Remember to keep battling. Don't get weary.